But praise the Lord, I'm not what I used to be. Praise God. Hallelujah. The last, I'm going to go back and I'm going to hit on some things that I spoke about last Sunday morning. And I'm going to try to finish up the message today. But what the message was all about was the five crowns that the New Testament is speaking about. And it's speaking about the five crowns is for the believer and the ones that are saved by the marvelous grace of God. Now we know the first crown that we spoke on last week was the crown of life. The crown of life. And that was the one, that's for the ones that love the Lord. Now if you love the Lord this morning, you're going to receive that crown. You're going to receive a crown of life there. Because you cannot love the Lord and still serve Satan. It's impossible to serve two gods. It's impossible to serve God and serve Mammon, which is Satan himself. You cannot do it. It's impossible. You have to love one all the way or have to love the other one all the way. We cannot straddle the fence. There's a whole lot of people out here today that I believe are straddling the fence. And the fence that they're straddling, and if they're going to fall one way to the other, when they're straddling that fence, they're going to always fall to the things of the world. Because of what the world has to offer the people today, the world has so much more out here to offer the sinner and offer the Christians today, and we as Christians. And I think I brought it up last Sunday. If I didn't, it was the other week. But as far as the Christian is concerned, they must love the Lord. They must love God wholeheartedly. And I believe that as far as a Christian, see, a sinner cannot backslide. One is lost and cannot backslide. Because they're already all the way backslid so far. It's pathetic. But the Christian can backslide. And once he backslides, and where he backslides from, it's not from where we are in sin. It's from the church pews. I believe that. I believe it wholeheartedly. That's where the sinner, that's where the Christian starts the backsliding process, is within the pews, because they don't listen to what God is speaking. They don't listen to what God is saying through the songs and through the preaching of His Word. Now, I know that I'm not one of the elite preachers I hear, or one of the elite pastors I hear, but I try to do everything according to God's word, and I try to allow Him to lead and guide and direct my soul. But today we also spoke about the incorruptible crown, and that crown is where we don't have to be corrupted with sin, and we was once corrupted with sin. Until he saved our soul. And when He saved our soul, then we have got that incorruptible crown. And it says it's for the spiritual race. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." Verse 25 says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. In all things now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown." Some obtain a corruptible crown, which is morally unsound. It is to the point that the crown that they're going to receive for that, the corruptible crown, is is speaking about the individuals that's lost and they're wicked. Anything that does not love the Lord, God says they're wicked. They're wicked individuals. And God is no retrospect of person. God will save them just like He saved me, and just like He saved you if you saved this morning. Now, I go as far as saying this, that all the overseas and everything what's going on over in Israel and all the small, all the countries there is trying to come up with some kind of arrangement. They're trying to get the United States to go in with them to go against Israel. Well, you know, I believe the people there, I believe the individuals that there is trying to do all that, I don't believe that they're going to one day be able to obtain the incorruptible crown. I believe they're going to have the corruptible crown. Because why? Because they are wicked. They're doing the wicked stuff. They're doing the devil stuff. And you know, in the last few months of what has taken place as far as all this, the marriage, the same-sex marriage and everything, I'm totally against it. And God's totally against it also. So God's against it, I'm against it, and that's where it is. But it says some are morally sound and also morally, the moral standards to live by. And they're the ones that receive the incorruptible crown. But we need to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, today we're going to start with the third crown. And the third crown here is the crown of rejoicing. The crown of rejoicing. What is that crown of rejoicing? That crown of rejoicing speaks of soul winners. That speaks of going out and doing soul winning work. We must be a soul winning people. If we're not out here telling somebody else about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we cannot go out there and speak to them with a kindness and a love in our heart, then something is wrong with us. We need to check up our own life. We need to check up and see what we're doing during the week. See who we're speaking to each and every day. But here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19 says, "For what is our hope of joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ as at his coming?" The lost sinner can have hope and joy. Now, this morning, right after Sunday school, and I don't think Brother Ray would mind me saying this. The reason I say Brother Ray is because he come to me this morning and he wanted to talk to me. We went back in there in the nursery back there and we talked. And, you know, the nursery, I can explain that a little later, but what he wanted to talk to me about, he wanted to talk to me about his soul. That he did not know God. And he wanted to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I read scripture to him and he read scripture. And I prayed and he prayed. And he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior this morning. It's going to get harder from here on out. But one thing you have people here that love you and they care for you and want to see you do what God would have you to do. Now, that I didn't even know that this was going to be the third crown that I was going to be speaking about right at first this morning. But it's the crown of rejoicing. The crown of life. We have the crown of life. The ones that love God. And he told me back there that he loves the Lord. He loves Jesus. And then not only that, the incorruptible crown. We know that he's saved because I was back there. I led him to the Lord. I read scripture and I heard him verbally say to me that he was saved. He just got saved. And I said something else. I said, don't never be ashamed of what the Lord has done. Don't never be ashamed of what the Lord has done for you. And always remember this. Always when we pray, and this is what I try to, when I take someone and read them scripture and everything and then lead them to the Lord and everything, and after I lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, then I come back and I'll ask them again. I says, now what just happened? They said, I'm saved. I just got saved. Then I'll go back, I said, now what you really need to do to make everything complete, you need to ask the Lord to be the Lord of your life. And if the Lord is the Lord of your life, you ain't going to have to worry about this and that. Because you're going to want to do everything that you can to please the Lord. This is one of the greatest works for a Christian, is to be able to go out and tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ and be able to lead someone to the Lord. And if you've never had an opportunity to ever take the Bible and sit down or pray with somebody and lead them to the Lord, I promise you this, if you ever do it one time, you may be expecting that next moment to happen real quick. Real quick. But I'll tell you, that's something that you just can't take and hide. It's something is. I've had them ever since I went back out. Some of them called them. Them chill bumps or the chill is running up and down their spine, but I don't. I call them Holy Ghost bumps. I've had the Holy Ghost chill bumps ever since. I went back out with him and prayed with him and led him to the Lord. It wasn't nothing I'd done, but it was everything in what Jesus Christ done. He done it for him. And he done it for me, he done it for you, he done it for the whosoever will. But Luke chapter 15 and verse 10 says, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Over one sinner, there's the angels there in heaven rejoicing. I believe that Brother Ben Poovey there, he's rejoicing there in heaven. Why? Because there was a soul to come to know the Lord. I believe it's other people there. I believe my grandmother there. I believe it's other people there. Hey, they may not know you as I knew them, my grandmother. And my mother-in-law, but I'll tell you one thing. They was two godly individuals and they loved the Lord. They're rejoicing there in heaven. Why? Because still sinners are getting saved. Not only that, Brother Ray, I'm going to let you know something. I forgot to share this with you back there. It's over in Luke chapter 22, I believe it is. Read it. You'll find out, I said, where Jesus says, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for thee. If I don't have nobody else praying for me, I know I got Jesus Christ praying for me. And I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that I've got a mother-in-law there in heaven that's praying for me. And I've got a grandmother there in heaven that's praying for me. I know that. Because I knew him. I knew him when it was down him. Yeah, and y'all know the story about my mother-in-law now. Well, when I went and picked her daughter up, which is my wife sitting right back there. It was a blind date. I didn't know him. I just asked, somebody asked him and says, you want to go up for us tonight? And it was a friend of mine and his wife. I said, yeah, but you know, a third individual is not appropriate, I don't think. You know. And then his wife says, well, I got two ladies that I can call. I know one of them will go out. I said, all right. She said, the name is Shelby. One of them named Shelby Sowers. And the other one's name is Frankie Braswell. And I got to thinking about it. I said, well, I said, you know, I'm not no real educated man. But the last time I heard somebody call somebody Frankie, I mean, he had short hair and had on work clothes, work pants and stuff like that, and didn't look like no she to me. I said, look, what about, I said, just call Shelby. So they did. Next month we'll be married 44 years next month. But I thank the Lord for it. You know where it got started at? It got started with my mother-in-law and her mother at that time on her knees praying for me. And she won't pray that I just forget about her daughter. She was praying. Says if he's not saved, save him. Woo-wee, glory, hallelujah. I wish sometimes she was here. I miss her. She misses her and I miss her. Because she'd tell you, she'd say, she'd come, you'd go to see her and you'd walk out there and she'd have that bonnet on her head, have it tied on the heel. And we'd start talking or something like that and she says, well, Donnie, you know, God give you a brain to use. It's not just for a hat rack. You don't just put a hat on it. You have to use it. She didn't mind working though. People back then, they didn't mind working. But now, don't nobody want to work anymore. The fourth crown is a crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness is the one that loves his doctrine, loves his word. That's the only time the Lord speaks to us, is when we're in his word. When we read his word, he speaks to our hearts. And as he speaks to our hearts, then the Holy Spirit will lead us in the way to go and the things to do as we read. But we have so many people today that God hasn't heard from in so long. They used to be in church. They used to be deacons in church. They used to be a Sunday school teacher. They used to be. They used to sing in a choir. They used to be in church. I mean, if the doors was open, you could count on them. They was there. Where are they today? Where are they today? That I forgot about the first love. Now, speaking of that now, forget about your first love. How do you think Sheba would treat me if I went 2 months and didn't show up? How many meals do you reckon that I would have if I didn't show up at the table and feast from a table that she'd worked so hard and my daughter had worked so hard on? How would they feel towards me if I was never there to eat what they had prepared? God has prepared us a meal. And it's up to us if we want to eat from His table. So many people today are not eating from His table. They say, well, I got my feelings hurt. Well, I'm not going to let somebody else hurt my feelings to the point I'm going to get out of church and get away from God. I mean, if somebody here hurts my feelings that much, the way I can't come and I can't fellowship with God and I can't have a good time in His services here, then praise God, I'll just go find me another church to where I can get in there and I can get in and go with it. But we cannot allow things to happen in a life that we will forget about that first love. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that loves His appearing. Loves His appearing. Over here in Titus chapter 2 verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good work. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. We must live before the world as Christians. We must live before the world and that they can see in our lives that we have something better than they have. That we have a better hope. And that hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. that one day that we're going to get to that place. And I don't believe it's going to be that long. I really don't. You say, well, preacher, I've heard it all my life. Well, I have too. I have too. But it says, with these things happening, peerless times. We're living in peerless times. We're living in times of peerlessness. We're living in a time of sorrow, and people, they just don't know which way to go. But here in Timothy, let's see, First Timothy. I can't find it right now. What I was looking for. Speaking about peerless times. It's speaking about also like lovers of yourself. You love yourself and you love more things about you than you do others. Once you ever get to the point, and once an individual ever gets to the point in their life that they love the Lord God Almighty, and they love the Lord Jesus Christ, and they know for sure that He saved their soul, then what they have experienced is, then they forget about themselves. It ceased to be about them. The day that I got saved, it ceased to be about me. It ceased to be about everyone else. Because see, I was a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Glory to God. I tell you, I still to this day, I'm still amazed, and I'm amazed every day how He can love an old sinner like me. I'm still amazed. I'm still amazed at what He can take from the scum of the earth. What He can do with it. And what He can make it do. That's the crown of righteousness. That's for our looking to Him for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not looking, if you're not expecting that hope and that glorious appearing, something is wrong. You need to check up. Because that should be on each and every one of our hearts, is to go home to be with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But until that time comes, we've all got something that we have to do. We all have got something else that we have to do. What is that? Go out into the highway and the hedges. Walk into the hedges and tell people that God loves them. The strength of the course. He's the only one where we can get our strength from. In the course that the Holy Spirit has directed us in. We as believers in Jesus Christ should anticipate on His return and on His coming. Paul fought the spiritual battle throughout the Christian life. Paul never surrendered. How many times have we surrendered? How many times have we surrendered to what the devil wants us to do? Don't say that you ain't never surrendered. I can't say that I have. I can't say that I haven't surrendered unto him. Because as long as I have breath in this body, and as long as I have energy, and as long as I have what this is right here is called flesh, that is hanging on these bones of mine, as long as I have that on, then yes, I'm going to disappoint God. I'm going to disappoint. But thank God, he also tells me too, that over in John chapter 14, chapter 16, I believe it is, but he's talking about the comforter. When the devil says, Donnie, you know, you need to do this. And the thing about the devil, he knows scripture, he knows the Bible, he knows it inwards, inside and outside. He knows what's on the outside of the Bible. He knows what is written on the cover. He knows every word that's written in the Word of God. He knows what the Word of God is saying. And he can convince us to the point that, yes, we may believe that it comes from God. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that we must try the Spirit. We must try the Spirit of God. And we must try the spirit of the devil. Now, we know that the Spirit of God is going to lead us in the right way. But see, Satan can tell me, say, well, Donnie, says now, you need to pray a little more. And you need to do a little more studying today. And you would say, okay. Then you have the Holy Spirit, God. Then you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And he will say to you, say, son, I know that you've already prayed today. I need for you to go out and visit someone. I need you to go out there and witness to them. You can always bet that you're going to have to discern between which one to trust. Now, when you're in a situation like that, it's hard to do. It's hard to do. Because you don't really know what you're going to do. You don't know if it's going to be of God or the devil. Now, for me, I say that God would want me to go out and visit and witness to someone. Because, see, there's some things that we don't have to pray about. Some things that God does not even tell us that we must pray about. We must not pray about. Help us that we can give our 10%. Help us that we can give back your portion this week. Some things that we don't have to pray about. I don't have to pray about going out and being a witness. Because God's Word commands that. God's Word commands me to be a good steward in all things. Not just a few things, but all things. Be a good steward of all things, not just a few. But a whole lot of people, they say, well, it's okay. Sounds good. Stay here and pray, and we'll do a little more reading. Favorite verse in the Bible for me. Y'all know it. John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Comforter, which speaks to our hearts about what we must do, and we have to do it for the Lord. And this was what Paul was all about. Paul was all about pleasing God. He wasn't about pleasing himself or pleasing the individuals that he was around. Always about pleasing God. God, Paul took no detours. Paul finished his course with his eyes fixed on Jesus. Paul said, I have kept the faith. And that's a mighty big statement right there. I have kept the faith. Have we kept the faith? Even with the name on the church, Faith Baptist Church, but have we kept the faith? We don't want you out. Here we go, pastors. And the last crown, the crown of glory. Now, I've heard different people preach on this. And preach on the crowns. And I've heard some of them say that there's going to be very few people. I hear that's going to receive the crown of glory. And they say that what it is, this crown of glory is for the preachers and for the teachers. It's a double crown. That's what they say. But what does God's word say? That we must go out and we must give the gospel out. If we give the gospel out, what is that? That is preaching. So we all, in a sense, we are all preachers in one sense of a way. Because we have got to the point that we need to get back to what the biblical standard is, and we must get back to the old path. We must not go to this old, the new stuff that's going on now. We need to hang on to the old path, and when we hang on to the old path, then we'll hang on to the Calvary. We'll hang on to the cross. We'll hang on to the cross. You can hang on to Calvary. Hallelujah. Then we can't go wrong. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being Lord over God's heritage, but being assembled, but being example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Galatians 1:10, For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please man? For if I yet please man, I should not be the servant of Christ. We have a responsibility, and the responsibility is just not set on me. The responsibility is set on each and every one of our shoulders if you're saved this morning. Is there upon our shoulders that we'll go out and we will obey God. And we'll tell people about his son. That he went to Calvary. He hung on a tree there. On the cruel cross. Where the lumber there come from the tree that God the Father had planted. Where God the Father had gave growth to it. That one day that he knew that his son would hang on that tree. And as his son hanging between heaven and hell, what did he do? He gave up a ghost. He said, it's finished. He says, Father, that your work has been finished. It has been completed. Now, in saying that, his work, he thought that it had been completed. When he rose from a grave that day, no one moved that stone. There was no guards that come up and just moved that stone just to look inside. The reason that stone was removed and who it was removed by was the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason it was removed is a way that we could look in. There's been many and many a people, many a preachers that went over in Israel and went up to Golgotha's hill and then experienced that and then come back to the grave where Jesus' body lay. But they say his body is not there. His body has gone. His body is back in heaven. When he rose from the dead, from death, hell, and the grave that day, he came forth, he conquered everything the devil had to offer him and everything the devil had put in front of him. He conquered every bit of it. So he thought he could go back to heaven. And everything was finished. But when he went back to heaven, he didn't sit down. His father said, son, you need to go back. Your followers that you hate, they're in. They don't know what to do. That right there, to me, tells me that that's speaking of the church today that is without a pastor.
They don't know what to do. They don't, because they don't have no leadership. He had 10 disciples there in the upper room. Plus there was some other people there. But it wasn't but 10 of the 12 disciples. Judas had went and hung himself. He had already went and sold out to the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. He done went and hung himself. That wasn't enough. Thomas. Doubting Thomas. Look who chose Thomas. Who chose him? The Lord. Who chose Judas? The Lord. Who called the others? The Lord. The Lord picked them all out. And none of them was perfect. Every one of them had a flaw. You had the Zebedee twins. You had Peter. He denied the Lord. I mean, basically, he just plain out lied. He plain out lied to the soldiers and the people that he was around at the time. Said, "Wasn't that the one they called the Messiah that you was with earlier today?" No, I wasn't with him. That's just like today. People don't want to come to the house of God because they don't want to be associated. They don't want people to say, "I saw you this past Sunday. Yeah, you was in church this past Sunday. Yeah." Today, you over here now, you hanging around with the other people over there now, telling dirty jokes. It's a sad world we got ourselves into. As every head bowed and all eyes closed, as you stand this morning, I don't want nobody looking around. Please. I want to ask you a question this morning. Is there a crown here that we spoke about? Is there a crown here that you won't be able to receive? The crown of life, will you receive that crown one day? Will you receive the incorruptible crown one day? You receive the crown of rejoicing? Will you be able to say that, "Yes, I can receive all them crowns"? Can you receive the crown of righteousness? Can you receive the crown of glory? If that one crown or two crowns, or have many crowns, if there's a crown missing from a list, you need to come to the altar and ask the Lord to help you and to show you what you need to do to correct that which is in your life where you will not receive that crown. So, preacher, I don't just want you to pray for me. Anyone lift a hand? I just want to pray for you. Yes. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this day. And Father, we thank you, Father, for what you are going to do here at Faith Baptist Church. Father, we thank you, Lord, for them five crowns. that we all can receive. Father, I know sometimes it seems like I come up slack. Sometimes it looks like that I'm missing a crown or two. But I'm so thankful that I can go back to Thy Word. And Father, that You can speak to my heart once again. Thank You for these people that showed up today. And Lord Jesus, we just want to thank You for what You're going to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.